Next matter on calendar is document 51388, Harris versus Esamaya. Are you ready to proceed, counsel?
Yes, I am.
All right. Did you want to reserve any time?
Yes, sir. I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
All right.
Good afternoon, Chief Justice Perry Gary, Justices Seda, Pickering, Gibbons, Cherry, Hardesty, and Douglas. My name is Bruce Gale, and I'm a sole practitioner. I'm appearing on behalf of plaintiff and the appellant, Linda Marie Harris. I'm before you today because my client and I are asking you to reverse the district court judge's granting of the defendant's motion to dismiss. There's a standard regarding a statute, and it's a very much less deferential standard of review, and unlike the deferential standard involving abuse of discretion. What we have here is this court's interpretation, or necessary interpretation, of 16.1 regarding the 180 days. Okay, and under Maxwell versus SIS, construction of a statute is a question of law. The citation is 109 Nevada 327, 849 Pacific 2nd, 267. It's a question of law and independent appellate review rather than a more deferential standard review, like abuse of discretion, is appropriate. It's my position that the language of NRCP 16.1 is clear and unambiguous. And so I'd like to address the issues first. First, the plaintiff and appellant Linda Marie Harris's complaint, it was deemed to be in the court annexed arbitration program from the moment of the filing of the complaint, which is on December 1st, 2006, until the arbitration commissioner granted our petition for exemption from arbitration, which was on August 24th, 2007. Secondly, the issue is the 16.1's 180-day period doesn't begin to run and is told until the case is exempted from the arbitration program. Finally, again, it's our position that the district court judge, she abused her discretion, grand defendant's motion to dismiss. And again, but a much more no deferential standard, I believe, in front of y'all in interpreting 16.1. Now, can y'all see this okay? You want to move this up? Y'all were given a copy of 16.1.
We got it. We're familiar with it.
Okay. I'll try to be very brief. I was never very good in English, but 16.1B1, B is title, meet and confer requirements. There's a 14-word prepositional phrase at the beginning of 16.1, proposition that dictates the deadlines under 16.1. It says, unless the case is in the court annexed arbitration program, which is a trial program, come within 30 days after filing of an answer by the first answering defendant, then the party shall meet in person to confer. There's a second deadline under 16.1b1, and it's about the attorney that can agree to continue the case for initial time of not more than 90 days. Again, it's my position that, again, you have to refer back to the first portion of 16.1, that the case is still in the arbitration program, the short trial program, and that 90 days can't begin until after the first 30 days is run. And then finally,
The last sentence in 16.1B1, absent confirmed extraordinary circumstances due to the parties to extend the time to a day more than 180 days after an appearance is served by the defendant in question. The provisions under 16.1E1 talks again, and there's about seven or eight words phrases. I think that's a prepositional phrase that's important in 16.1E1. If the conference described in Rule 16.1B is not held within 180 days, again, it's referring back to 16.1B. And I think that's an important distinction. This is why this case was, the early case conference was withheld within 121 days. Now, I'd like to address some of the, I think the Nevada arbitration rule.
Could you say that again? You said early case conference was held when?
121 days after August 24, 2007. The commissioner's exemption from arbitration was filed and served on August 24, 2007. If you add 3 days for mailing, then it's actually 124 days or 121 days if you add 3 days for mailing.
So the parties met and conferred?
I noticed it. I noticed the early case conference, and defense counsel refused to appear.
That was a one-day or a two-day notice, as I recall, following around the Christmas holiday.
That's correct, Your Honor. And also, in my letters, I said, if you can't appear, give me additional time. Give me additional dates where you're available. So defense counsel wasn't available to attend the 16.1, but they're available the next day to have a motion dismissed, sir. That's what happened in this case. I want to focus on 16.1B1. Unless the case is in the court annex arbitration program. It's our position this case is in the arbitration program. Let's start with Nevada Arbitration Rule 1. It's a mandatory non-binding arbitration program, as you all know.
Well, before you get there, what do you make of the second paragraph in 16.1B1, which seemingly elaborating on the introductory phrase that you read to us, talks about a trial de novo request and what happens in that instance with respect to a case that was actually arbitrated and under arbitration rule 11 had a 16.1 substitute. But your case would never have had that. It just got exempted out. So your case under this rule as written would never have a 16.1.
I'm not following you, Justice.
Well, your second paragraph here says, and it addresses specifically what happens in a case where there's a trial de novo request filed after an arbitration is being conducted. And it provides for there being no further 16.1 because you have that substitute in the arbitration under arbitration rule 11, and says, but within 60 days you have to put in the early case conference report. That makes sense. But what the rule doesn't discuss at all is your case where there was never any arbitration activity beyond just filing a request for exemption. I would read from that silence, and I think it's reasonable that the lead-in phrase is only referring to cases that are actually accepted into arbitration and processed through arbitration so they have their own version of 16.1 occur.
Justice, maybe I'm misunderstanding. Are you referring to Nevada Arbitration Rule 4?
I'm referring to 11, but I'm asking you to address the second paragraph of 16B1, which only speaks to cases that are coming back on a de novo request.
Okay.
The highlighted section that you provided.
Yes, awesome. Thank you. Okay. Well, again, I guess my response to that is it doesn't apply because this case under the Vital Arbitration Rule 1, it starts in the arbitration program. It's not discretionary. The case begins there, and the case, until it's exempted out, continues in the arbitration rule, in the arbitration program. Under the Vital Arbitration Rule 1, civil cases commence in counties over 100,000, as you know, have to be, started in the arbitration program. Also, if it wasn't the arbitration program, why would the arbitration commissioner be sending out an arbitration selection list? I'm required to file a request for exemption from arbitration to exempt the case from the arbitration.
Yeah, but you're supposed to do that with your complainer within 20 days of the first defendant answering, which would give you enough time to be out and ready to do your 16-1 if that process had been timely pursued.
That's correct, but the 20-day inquiry and the timeline doesn't end there, because after that 20-day, and this is another argument why the 180 days and the 240 days should be told and not begin until the case is in the arbitration program. After the first defendant enters an appearance, you're right, you have 20 days to file a petition to exempt the case from arbitration. Then opposing counsel has 5 days to file an objection to that. Also, then the arbitration commissioner can also request that the parties submit additional documents, in this case the petitioner, to support the request for exemption from arbitration. Then the parties have 5 days to file an objection from the commissioner's decision to have the matter heard before the district court. And then the district court can rule on the arbitrability of the case.
Right, but that would be an unusual case that goes that far. So wouldn't that case be the one that, under the first paragraph, there would be a motion for more time appropriate? But it doesn't seem to me that 16-1 carves out anything other than cases that go through arbitration actively.
Well, again, my emphasis is on the magic 14 words. It's the first 14 words of 16.B1.
And that's where you're asking us to read in the tolling provision.
Yes, I am. In the second 90 days...
Now you're actually tuning in to your 5 minutes. You got 3.5 minutes left. Do you want to reserve any of it?
Yes.
Okay. Unless colleagues, do you have any other questions at this point? Okay.
Good afternoon, Justices. My name is Jane Everhardy, and I represent Miki Yoko Asayama as the respondent in this case. Before I begin, I want to say that the arguments that have just been made to this court were not made in the district court, and thus they are being made for the first time here, which is against the rules and Diamond Enters versus Lau, 113 Nevada, 1376, says you're not supposed to hear any arguments that weren't raised in the district court. The court issued an order on September 28, 2009, in this case, that prohibited arguments being raised for the first time by the appellant in her motion for reconsideration. She did file a reconsideration motion in this down below, but the reconsideration motion was not heard and a decision was not made before the notice of appeal was filed. And in Arnold v. Kipp, you're not allowed to hear that the evidence or what's in that motion. What's in that motion is this argument about when the case is submitted into the arbitration program versus the district court program. With that said, I am willing to address and ready to address the issues that my colleague has just raised to you. First, the issue is when the complaint is filed, it is under the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure, period. And that is found, the rules have a provision for that, and that's found in Nevada Arbitration Rule 4A, B, and C. 4A says that the district court, cases filed in the district court remain under the jurisdiction. B says the district court judge, and in this case, the judge did exactly this, has authority to act or interpret the Nevada arbitration rules. And then C says that before a case is submitted or an order is entered to enter the arbitration program, the case falls under the Nevada arbitration or the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure. 16.1 is one of those rules. Counsel talked about when the case is submitted, when the case is filed, it's automatically deemed into the arbitration program. I disagree. The Nevada Arbitration Rule 3 talks about cases that are either ordered or submitted. And you can be ordered into the court by an order of the court, or it can be submitted to the program, the arbitration program, by the parties agreeing to submit the case to the arbitration. They do a stipulation, they send it to the court, and the court has to rule on it and order it.
If it's not automatic, though, why would you have to have an exemption then?
Because the exemption is the jurisdiction of the arbitration rules is not over $50,000. The plaintiff is going to be in the best position to determine how much his case is valued at.
But wouldn't that just presuppose that you indicate on your complaint this is exempted from arbitration because the monetary limit is beyond the jurisdictional amount? Your pleadings generally claim damages in excess of $10,000, not $50,000.
Correct. And that is why the rules, the Nevada arbitration rules, require that the petition be filed within 20 days of the first answer. That gives the court the information to either enter it in and enter an order or not. If the petition isn't filed, then 20 days goes by. I'm assuming the court's presuming that it's under the $50,000. The arbitration selection list is sent out. The arbitration selection list is not an order from the district court. The order is actually when the arbitrator is appointed. That's when an order is entered. And so it's a selection list. And so the $50,000, whether it falls into the jurisdiction of the arbitration program or not, is really up to the plaintiff, which allows him to ask that it be either entered into the program or exempted from the program. And he does nothing if he thinks it's going to be into the program. And that's how I interpret these rules. I think that the judge has the discretion to interpret these rules based on NRA, Nevada Arbitration Rule 4B, which gives the district court that discretion. She didn't abuse her discretion. She has the authority to interpret these rules. And the standard is abuse of discretion because that is because this was a motion to dismiss without prejudice for the fact that the early case conference was not noticed or held before the 180 days. And under Arnold v. Kipp, it is abuse of discretion because it is it's a dismissal without prejudice. And so once the case is submitted into the ordered into the program or submitted into the program, then the rules of the 16.1 do not apply. But until that time frame, the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure apply, including 16.1. Are there any questions? then that's really all I have.
Well, I guess there is a question then. Council has argued that the opening language under B1 exempts out cases that are in the annexed arbitration program. You're saying that that language should be interpreted how?
That the cases are, a case is, when a case is filed, it is not automatically into the arbitration program. The arbitration program has jurisdictional requirements. It can't be over $50,000.
But counsel's argument is that under the arbitration rules, you're in until you're out.
I understand.
And because you're in until you're out, in order to create harmony between that arbitration rule and this provision, we should say that 16.1 doesn't kick in until you are out of the arbitration program by some affirmative act by the parties. Why isn't that a reasonable interpretation of those two provisions?
Because then you can adjust these rules and never have a 16.1. And the interpretation of that ignores the Nevada arbitration rule. That ignores rule 4, A, B, and C, which doesn't say you're automatically in. You're ordered, it doesn't say you're ordered into the arbitration program. In fact, what it says is that Rule 1 of the Nevada arbitration rules says for certain cases, doesn't say all cases commence, it says certain cases. Rule 2 also says that you're either until you're ordered or subject to the program. And the way you're ordered is when you don't petition, and because the plaintiff, again, is in the better position to determine at the beginning what his case is valued at. And the defendant, once if a petition is filed, the defendant has an opportunity to oppose that petition. But the petition should be filed, or is according to NAR 5, has to be filed 20 days after you answer. And in this case, it wasn't even filed until 53 days after the defendant answered. So we're talking it was 53 days later. So with that, you can...
Does the answer lie in the possibility that a case that is in the arbitration program for which no petition is filed to get it out must proceed under NAR 11, which is a similar provision to 16.1's early case conference process. But a case that comes out will already be under the 16.1 conference process.
I think that once it's in the program, it falls under NAR, but until Rule 11. But
the interpretation I've just suggested mm-hmm. assures that no case falls between the cracks. Any civil case will either have to go through an early case conference process under NAR 11, or it must undergo an early case conference process under 16.1 under that interpretation.
Yes, but I do think that the rules as written already provide for that. And I think they provide for that because if you take NAR Rule 4, it already says that. It says that it's in that program until it's ordered or submitted out of the program. And that's why you have these other time limits that tick. You have the 20 days to exempt it out. And if it's not exempted out, then the arbitration process commences by the submitting of the appointing of the arbitration.
So under the interpretation I'm suggesting, it would avoid a potential abuse where a plaintiff stays in the arbitration program, doesn't seek to get out, doesn't participate in the NAR 11 early case conference process, and then later requests to get out, and that whole thing simply extends the 16.1 case conference time.
It does extend the time, except...
And that isn't that an abuse of the objectives of the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure?
I think that it would be... it would be an abuse if that... Because the 16.1, once you're in the program, commences by the arbitrator, starts it. And if you're in the program, if you're ordered into the program, you're under NAR. And if you're not in the program, then you fall under the 16.1, which is set forth in, it states that in NAR 4. So I think that the rules as they're written are clear, and that you're not automatically in the program, but you're always covered under the Nevada Rules of Civil Procedure because of Rule 4, A, B, and C. It says that, and that's my interpretation of it. And going back to the district court did not abuse their discretion in interpreting these rules. And because what we're looking at is promoting the litigation to have it timely litigated, and that was not occurring here. And this case involved an open extension, but that open extension was for the plaintiff's benefit, not the defendant. The defendant was ready to go. Plaintiff wanted, don't answer. Let's try to settle the case. And when that didn't happen, the answer was filed. And that is the trigger date, is when the answer is filed.
And now, counsel indicated the case conference took place 120 days. You disagree with that.
Yes, I do. And if you look in what's before the court in the record, counsel stated that it was 195 days, and therefore it shouldn't be dismissed. And that's in his initial oppositions, and that's what's before this court. And he said 195 days. So he knew it's 180. He knew that it was 180 plus the 15, which is 195, and he puts that in his moving papers.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Mr. Gale. You've got a couple minutes left.
Do I have 5 minutes left, or how many? Yeah,
3.22.
I'll be very brief. I don't have much choice. Justice Hardesty, I want to address your comment. You're in unless you're out. You're out. It's in the arbitration program. It's like a class action lawsuit. And invariably, some of us have received notice of class actions regarding your cellular telephone or your credit card or something. And you're a member of the class, and you're in the class unless you want to toe the line and represent David versus Goliath on $5 GI overcharge. The 16.1E1 in the Nevada arbitration rules, I think, are clear. Specifically, the qualifying language under 16.E1, the first 14 words, and also the arbitration rules. Nevada, and I'll go through very quickly. Nevada arbitration rule 1, it's a mandatory non-binding arbitration program for certain civil cases commenced in district judicial districts. That included a county whose population is $100,000 or more. Rule 3, this case
had been exempted from the arbitration program by filing a request for exemption. Certain exemptions apply if you put on the face of the complaint. It's a medical malpractice action. It involves a claim for equitable relief. It involves a quiet title action. Those cases you put on the face of the complaint, and you don't have to file a request for exemption from arbitration. Justice Pickett, I apologize for misunderstanding about arbitration rule 11. I wasn't quite clear where you're going, but I want to go back to my timeline. If the 180 days and the 240 days isn't told until the case is exempted from the arbitration program, the plaintiff can lose approximately 60 days because the plaintiff has 20 days to file a request for exemption, plus 3 days for mailing. Opposing counsel has 5 days to file an opposition. The arbitration commissioner can request additional documents. Then he issues a ruling. Either side can object. Then it goes in front of the district court, and the district court can have a hearing. So you can lose potentially 60 days. And I think, and that's my argument regarding that. Now, I want to take you to rule, about arbitration rule 4C. There's some language in there that's kind of conflicting. But one of the phrases in there, it talks about, until the case is removed from the program, these rules apply. Once a case is accepted in the program, requirements of rule NRCP 16.1 do not apply. Again, if this case was not in the arbitration program, why does the arbitration commissioner send out an arbitration selection list? Why do I have to file, in my type of case, where I'm claiming the value of the case is worth more than $50,000, have to file a request for exemption from the arbitration program under Rule 3? It's because the case is in the arbitration program until it's either exempted out or the parties stipulate or some other issue.
Mr. Gale, what argument did you make to Judge Leavitt before the rehearing about to support your position?
My argument was I guess somewhat misplaced. It was regarding Arnold versus Kipp, and I miscalculated the days. And again, because this is an issue regarding the construction of NRCP 16.1, this is a question of law that y'all are to give no deference to the district court. Y'all review this de novo. So you have to look at the four corners of 16.1 and hopefully come to a conclusion. Lastly, this case should be adjudicated on its merits for all the reasons I've set forth before.
All right. Any questions, colleagues?
All right. Mr. Gale, Ms. Everhardy, thanks so much for your briefs and your arguments today. And this
Thank you.
Matter will stand submitted.